This is a three-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Scrap Daddy Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, calling and talking with Rich Baker for the love of wrestling.
He's the beast, and he's in the cat's pajamas. He's the Kentucky gentleman. Yeah. And he reaches water. He's the macaroni. Together, they make Rome. Rome and baby. He's the beast, and he's in the cat's pajamas. Rome and baby. He's a Kentucky gentleman, baby. He's the macaroni. They make Rome.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to For the Love of Wrestling. My name is Rich Baker, and I want to welcome to the show a very special guest. He is a star of Dragon Gate USA Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, and soon to be a star in Japan. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Johnny Gargano. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, how you doing? I'm glad to be here, ready to rock and roll, and tell you some stories and some good times and some good stuff.
Yeah, Johnny, give you a little bit of background about myself. I started this podcast a few months back, and basically I worked for the WWE from 92 to 99. And I became disenchanted, basically, with the wrestling product as it was now. But I got to tell you, Dragon Gate USA, I've been friends with Gabe Sapolsky for a long time, and Dragon Gate USA and Evolve Wrestling have brought me back. So I want to thank you for that, and I'm really impressed with your work.
I appreciate that, man. Dragon Gate USA brings something completely new, something completely fresh, something I think wrestling needs. And it's a completely different style brought to America that we don't really see that often here. And I think it's something that everyone, if you're a wrestling fan, you should take the chance and check out, or at least give it a shot, because it might change your mind on a couple of things and how you view professional wrestling.
Yeah, I got to agree with what you just said. I mean, I watched, like, for instance, the last weekend of January, Dragon Gate USA had internet pay-per-views out of Manhattan and out of Philadelphia. The one I caught live was in Manhattan, but the one on pay-per-view from Philadelphia, that's the match that really impressed me. You were involved in the tag team tournament. Why don't you give the fans a basic rundown of how Dragon Gate USA works their cards? Like you said, it's a little bit different than what they're used to.
I'd say one of the main things about Dragon Gate USA is the style. It's very fast-paced. It's very in-your-face. It's very hard-hitting. In a way, it is. It's some of the best wrestlers from Japan coming over here to America and mixing it up with some of the best independent talents from America. And you have, like, kind of a supercard type of thing going on there. But as of late, the product has really grown a lot as a whole. The end of January was huge for all of us in Dragon Gate USA. To kind of put the American independent guys on the same exact level as all the stars from Japan. So it's one roster, one even playing field, and I think we proved that at the end of January. As the match you alluded to, it was myself and Chuck Taylor against Dragon Kid and Shima. And Dragon Kid and Shima are like two of the top guys from Japan, two very well-known names, two of the best talents from Japan came over here, and myself and Chuck Taylor beat them and advanced on to the tournament.
Yeah, that tournament, I tell you, for in-ring action, I mean, a lot of disgruntled fans of the independent scene sometimes say it's all high spots, it's all high spots, it's no psychology. But I got to tell you, Johnny, when I was watching those matches, there's a heck of a lot of psychology, and the athleticism that you and Chuck showed and Seema and the Dragon Kid, along with the other participants in the tournament, it was beyond belief. And I think if fans gave it a chance, they'd be, I mean, it was a two-hour show, and I was entertained for the entire 2 hours.
Definitely, that's one of the main things is too. There's no down points, there's no low points, there's no this is boring, I don't know, someone's talking for 45 minutes or anything like that. It's just straight action. It's like freaking an action movie. You're sitting there watching an action movie for two straight hours. Just give it your whole interest, give it a shot, and trust me, you won't regret it.
One of the things that set you apart, Johnny, is your and one of Dragon Gate USA's main focuses, they have stables. And the stable that you were a part of with Chuck Taylor and Rich Swann is called Ronin. And one of the things that you're bringing to the table, and my fans and listeners heard the theme song you guys come out to in the ring, you guys are just entertainment. You're not only athletic, but you bring that value of entertainment that a lot of fans would make the whole package more appealing. And you guys are three of the best in Dragon Gate USA as far as entertainment value as well.
I think that me, Chuck, and Rich definitely bring something different to the table. Before we were a stable or anything like that, Dragon Gate USA was mainly known for its wrestling action, mainly known for its in-ring competition, the amazing athleticism. But now, with me, Chuck, and Rich, what we bring to the table is entertainment. It's comedy. It's everything that you'd like to see in a wrestling show, so we have a complete package going on. And it's funny, but you watch the promos and you watch stuff like that. That's how me, Chuck, and Rich are in the back, in real life. And I'll tell you a story about how that song even came up. Song came up where Rich Swann was just singing the song to me. He just randomly, we were in the back, he started singing it to me. He's like, "This is our theme song." And I was like, "What?" Like, "Chuck, come here." And I called Chuck Taylor over. He sang the song for Chuck. And like, we were both like, "What the heck?" And then I was like, "Gabe, come here, listen to this." And he sang the song for Gabe. And Gabe was like, "Go get a camera." So we got a camera, we went in the back, we filmed that promo, and it aired, and it went online, it went on YouTube, and it took off from there. I didn't realize it was going to be as big as it's turned out to be, where the people just absolutely love it, which is amazing. But trust me, there's plenty more where that came from as far as entertainment goes. Especially with our recent trip going to Japan coming up, there's going to be a lot more Ronin baby style of entertainment coming out.
Now, Johnny, let's talk a little bit about your trip going out to your booking in Japan. One of the things that was on the internet, on the pay-per-view, was there was still some question about whether you were going to Japan or not. I'm not sure if that was storyline or not, but why don't you explain to my listeners, how does a 23-year-old wrestler get booked in a very prestigious, wrestling community like the Japan wrestling community? How does that come about?
I can owe it all to being in Dragon Gate USA, being able to show my styles to the higher-ups in Japan, the people in Japan getting to watch Dragon Gate USA and liking what they see and wanting to bring us over and show what we bring to the table to the Japanese community. And I think it's huge as a 23-year-old guy, huge for me personally to be able to go to Japan, huge for Chuck, huge for Rich, huge for all of us. And our first debut show is in Kuroki and Hall, which is amazing. It's like the epicenter of wrestling in Japan. So to debut there, it's a very big deal. So we're very much so excited about that.
Yeah, you posted on your Facebook page today that Kurgan Hall was where Chris Jericho began his Japanese career, and you brought up the analogy of how cool that was. This is the real deal. When you get booked in Japan for Dragon Gate, they don't bring just anybody over there. You got to impress a lot of people to get over to Japan. So I think that's a real feather in your guys' cap that you impress enough people to get booked over there.
Oh, definitely. Like, they brought over, you look at the past names, they brought over Austin Aries, Evan Bourne. They don't really bring just any random person over there. I mean, it's a very big deal to us, and like you talked about. I posted on my Facebook that Chris Jericho, one of his first tours of Japan, was in Kuroki. He debuted in Kuroki, and the tour ended in Ragoko Sumo Hall. And that's exactly the same thing I'm doing on this tour. So that's a very big deal to me, because Chris Jericho has been one of, and you can tell if you watch my wrestling style, the way I portray myself, Chris Jericho has always been a big influence in my career. So to me personally, I thought that was very cool. When I found out my schedule, I checked Chris Jericho's book and made sure that was correct, and it was correct. So I was very happy about that. I thought it was a cool little tidbit.
Besides that, working over there, what are the things that you're excited about going to Japan, besides the work, and maybe something in the back of your head you want to do while you're over there, or maybe some trepidations that you have about going over to Japan? Why don't you share some of those?
I've always wanted to go to Japan. It's always been a big career goal of mine. One of the main things I've always been iffy about is going over there alone, going over there by myself, not being able to really communicate with anyone for an extended period of time. Luckily, me, Chuck, and Rich are on the same flight. Me, Chuck, and Rich are over there the whole time together. So it worked out perfectly how everything worked out. Two of my friends are going with me, and wrestling with me, so that they worked out amazingly. I'm just really excited to go over there and just not just wrestle, but experience the culture, experience everything, and I'm sure I'm going to blow my whole paycheck on stuff to buy there, because I'm sure they have tons of stuff that I'm going to fall in love with and be like, give me that, and I'm going to be broke in about 2 days, but nevertheless, it'll be a good time.
You're going to go to Ribera Steakhouse?
I want to. I found out that it's kind of far away from where we're wrestling, but I think if me, Chuck, and Rich decide, say, hey, we're not wrestling unless we go to Ribera Steakhouse, I think we can make it happen. That's one of my top places I want to go.
I'll tell you a funny story, not to digress, but Stevie Richards went over to Japan once. I'm good friends with him, and he brought me back. I don't know if it was his, but he said it was Sabu's Ribera Steakhouse jacket, and I had it for years, and then I sold it on eBay, and to this day I regret doing that, because to let my listeners out there know, you don't get a Ribera Steakhouse jacket just by going. You have to. It's like part of the culture of being a wrestler in Japan.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the main things. I looked it up and like I was like, how far are we? I was trying to map quest it actually. Not a good idea because it doesn't really work that well. Yeah. I was trying to map quest from where we're wrestling the Ribera Steakhouse. It's a decent bit away, but I think we can try and make it happen.
Great, and like I was going to bring that up as well. It's probably real satisfying. Again, to get booked, but by yourself would be a little more nerve wracking, I would imagine. But to go over with two of your friends, you guys are going to take advantage of this and enjoy it. I can just tell.
Oh, definitely. That's like I said earlier. Like that's the main thing to me. I wanted to go, but going over by yourself is a whole different ballgame than going over with two of your friends and being able to experience it with them.
Let's get back to the United States here. What are some of your goals as far as you've accomplished a goal of getting booked in Japan? What are some of your goals that you've had or have now as far as the United States wrestling? What's your main goal or your main focus right now?
That's hard. Like I get asked that a lot, and I've had tryout matches with TNA, WWE. I've done that, and the way I see it is I'm 23 years old. I'm 23 years old and I'm not 6'5". I'm not 295 pounds. If you get guys like Brian Danielson, guys like CM Punk, they didn't go to WWE and start making big money by choice until they were ready, until they were 28, 29, and they were ready to, they've done everything they could possibly do on the independent scene. They perfected their craft, and they're ready to go to WWE and make a lot of money and make a living for themselves. That is what I would love to do, because personally I don't see like a 5'11 kid just 23 years old going to WWE and making an impact. I'd like to be able to establish myself on the independent scene as being one of the best that we have to offer. And it takes time. Me and Gabe have talked about this before. Back when I signed my contract with Dragon Gate USA, he gave me a good little analogy here. Being on the indies, it's kind of like being a doctor and going to school. The indies is your school. You can't just decide you're going to go be a doctor and start operating on people and be successful at it. You have to go to school. You have to perfect your craft. You have to learn. You have to take time. So when you do graduate and you're ready to go, you're at the best possible place you possibly could be to succeed and make money and do what you love to do.
Yeah, that's a great analogy because a lot of guys, and I've like to let our listeners know, I never spoke to you before tonight, but seeing your internet YouTube videos and promoting yourself on your matches, you seem to have a real good grasp on where you want to be right now, and that's a great analogy because a lot of guys rush themselves to get to the show, so to speak, and they're not ready, and then they end up not making as big an impact as they can. So that's a good attitude to have.
Exactly. That's what I try to do. I try to again, I mentioned Chris Jericho as one of my main idols, and I think he kind of took a similar road to that, even though it was a while ago and we didn't have quite what we do now. But I'd say his route would be the ideal route to take for someone my size especially.
Sure. Now, one of the things that your size is not a disadvantage at in Dragon Gate is the athleticism, but also your size doesn't matter when you're doing your and I call them refreshing because the promos that you do for Dragon Gate and Evolve, you do it on it's usually a one-camera shot, and basically you're being yourself, promoting yourself in the matches. Do you see that being a good advantage to do your own promos on YouTube and on Facebook? I find it refreshing, especially when you have to promote a match that's only going to be seen on the internet. You don't have the big TV vehicle. I think you're really taking advantage of the social networking.
I think it's definitely a positive to be able to show a lot of people exactly what you want, to portray your character how you want to, and feel comfortable what you're sending out there, feel comfortable in what you're giving the audience with your promos online and with your social networking. And I think that's a big part of wrestling nowadays, is being very interactive. Because back in the day, like, it was all about just being secretive and all that stuff. And me, personally, I'm an open book. I portray and I act the same way I do on camera as I do in the back, maybe not as hardcore on camera as I do in the back, because I'd probably get in a lot of trouble for that. But I'm the same person. I'm the same Johnny as I am on the camera as I am talking to you right now.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that, you know, call wrestling fans what you want. You know, some wrestlers look down at the fans and they can think they can trick them and they call them marks or whatever. But fans also can see through a phony. They can also see when a wrestler is acting and not portraying someone he really is. And that's the total opposite of what you, Chuck, and Rich bring to the table. And I think fans have grasped onto that.
Exactly. I remember Stone Cold Steve Austin was one person who said that his character was just himself amped up times 1,000. And you saw how well that character worked for him. You saw how well people grasped onto that character because he believed it. And he was that character. So the people weren't like, this is some guy portraying something he's not. They actually believed he is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And they grasped onto him and they just pushed him to the moon. So, I mean, that I think that is really how the best characters come about, is being yourself and just amping that up a bit.
Now, let's, how long, now your first match in Japan, I read it was on March 1st, and you're going to be there for 3 weeks. How many, to let our listeners know, do you have your schedule in advance? You know how many matches you're going to be working in Japan? What's the schedule like over there?
I do not have my schedule right now. I have only seen a couple of the matches, only the first couple. I know we're wrestling on March 1st, 3rd, and 4th. I believe they wrestle, like, 4 to 5 times a week there, so we'll be wrestling a ton in the 3 weeks that we're there. I actually leave this Sunday. I leave on February 27th, and I get there on March 1st. It's like time travel, but yeah. So yeah. It's 14 hours in a plane, but yeah. So,
well, that's good. That's good. I mean, and as far as working over there, the style's got to be a little bit different. But being with Dragon Gate over here, working with the Japanese stars that they book over here, is again an advantage to another American wrestler who might not have that advantage going over.
Exactly, and one of our first matches, I believe, is against Shima and Ruki Doi and another person. And I've wrestled Shima twice already in that tag match and in the singles match. So I think me and him know each other pretty well, and that'll be a good first match to have, seeing as we do know each other that well. And we work Ruki Doi in the tournament as well. So we've all wrestled each other already.
And let's give a plug to GoFightLive.tv, which is where fans can go and see the matches we're referring to from New York and Philadelphia for Dragon Gate USA. Like I said, I watched on pay-per-view the Philadelphia pay-per-view, and the athleticism in these matches with Johnny and Chuck and his tag team, the Rival Sema and Dragon Kid, but also the ones from New York, Naruka Doi and Ricochet. And then it wasn't on pay-per-view, but tell us about the match in Union City. I heard rave reviews about that match. That was the finals of the tournament. You guys did lose, but tell me about that match, because I wasn't there, and it's not on pay-per-view yet.
Make sure you got to check it out as soon as it comes on pay-per-view, because I really liked that match. It was a cool little atmosphere, too, because we were both crowd favorites. They liked us. They liked Yoshino and Pac. Yoshino was one of the biggest stars in Dragon Gate. So as well as Pac, the two of the top singles champions there. So two big stars. Pac is one of the craziest high flyers you'll ever see, and Yoshino is one of the fastest guys in wrestling. So I really like the match personally. I hope you guys check it out on pay-per-view, and you can check it out, and you like it as much as I did.
Right, I didn't get the date. I believe the date of the pay-per-view that you'll see the New Jersey match was March 11th. And GoFightLive.tv has the previous two matches in New York and Philadelphia. Now, your upcoming schedule, besides Japan, Dragon Gate has a lot of dates in the books. You guys are going to be down in Burlington, North Carolina on April 1st and WrestleMania weekend, April 2nd and April 3rd. Now, how does working WrestleMania weekend fare as far as your dreams? Have you decided, are you going to the event? Is it something you're looking forward to impress the fans? Because they draw people from countries all over the world. It's really quite an event there.
Oh yeah, it's a, you know, WrestleMania is the biggest event in our sport. So I mean, people come from all over to see it. And I remember WrestleMania weekend has always been big for the indies too, because a lot of indies run that weekend. I remember back, I don't remember how many years ago it was, they had that big Dragon Gate six-man tag in Ring of Honor. And I got 5 stars rated from Meltzer, and people raved about that match. That really kind of put Dragon Gate on the map kind of in America a little bit. So since then, they've always done that big Dragon Gate six-man tag, the main event, the Saturday night show. And this year, we're going to be in that big Dragon Gate six-man tag, which is amazingly huge for all of us. Me, Chuck, and Rich will take on Shima, Naruki Doi, and Ricochet. So, personally, I'm very excited for that match. I think it's going to be a heck of an encounter.
Yeah, it's got to be a real thrill for you to be in the main event of a card which is going to be looked upon by a lot, by thousands upon thousands of fans. They might not be in attendance, but they're going to hear about it because, like you said, it's part of the biggest weekend in wrestling in the whole year. The matches that they're booked after that, Dragon Gate is going to be back in Manhattan on June 5th, and then it's also going to return to Chicago and Milwaukee on September 10th and 11th. What's your favorite arena to have worked for Dragon Gate, or maybe one of your other federations that you've worked with?
For Dragon Gate, I really like the Regency Kings atmosphere. I thought that was really good in New York City. I also have a special place in my heart for the Ace Arena in New Jersey. And then, of course, Philly, the arena. I really also like the place they run in Chicago. They normally run in Chicago, the theater they run there, which was supposed to be haunted. I also like Chicago because it's only like 5 hours from my house in Cleveland. I like how it's in the Midwest, and it's not too far to go for that one. Other places to wrestle, Burlington, Ohio always runs a venue in Cleveland, and Cleveland is my hometown, so it's always special. It's called the Plain Dealer Pavilion, and it's a huge pavilion, and it's in my hometown of Cleveland, and they have a big show there every year, so that's always one of my favorite places to wrestle as well.
Yeah, to a man, if I ask a wrestler where their favorite place to wrestle, they usually name one other place, but always their hometown, always their hometown.
Yeah, definitely.
Because those are the people, I'm assuming a lot of your friends are in attendance, those are the people that grew up with you, those are the ones that said, Johnny wants to be a wrestler, and darn it if you didn't make it. So I'm sure that's special for you.
Oh, exactly. That's what it is all about. I mean, you're in your hometown. The people who have you watched you grow up since you're a little kid, the first match you ever had when you were however old to now, and it's really something special, especially when you have your family and friends in attendance.
One other federation which gave Sapolsky books is Evolve Wrestling. We alluded to it earlier. They have a live event coming up in Manhattan, the BB King Blues Club, on April 19th. How did Evolve Wrestling has a different type of style, because they go by wins and losses, which is unique to the wrestling business. And again, that takes a little bit of getting used to. But watching the videotapes and the DVDs that Gabe has sent me, I get into it. You are in first place with Jimmy Jacobs. And I think it's Chuck, right? Chuck is in first place as well for the 4-2 record. Tell us a little bit about how Evolve came about. I mean, that's a different animal altogether, going with wins and losses.
Yeah, it's a very different product, which I think is much needed in wrestling. Different things in wrestling are needed. It can't just be the same old, same old, same old thing. It gets boring after a while. You have to try different things. That's exactly what Evolve is going to do coming up to the next show, running New York City on a Tuesday night at BB King's. I'm very excited to see how that turns out. Because you know what? I mean, wrestling is on the weekends. That's kind of the weekend thing. But Tuesday night, like, what's on Tuesday night? Like, I know personally I don't do anything on Tuesday night, so I'm very excited for to be in New York City on a Tuesday night wrestling for Evolve. Evolve is a very different concept. It goes by wins and losses. I remember when I first heard about Evolve, I was wrestling for Dragon Gate USA at the time, and Gabe brought up the fact that he was working on this new project. And he worked on it with Brian Danielson, of course, Daniel Bryan in WWE. He came up with the name, and they worked on it, and the first show happened, and a lot of people liked it. You know, it's something you're going to have to get used to. It's not something you can turn on, and I mean, it depends on the type of person you are. It's very fast-paced, very different. If you're not accustomed to different things, if you like old-style wrestling, you may not like it at first glance, but keep giving it a shot, keep giving it a chance, because the product as a whole is evolving. The whole roster is evolving. It's a bunch of young guys evolving through your very own eyes. Just give it a chance. I mean, what are you going to lose by putting out a DVD or purchasing a DVD and just watching it? You're not going to lose anything. What, like, you're going to lose an hour of your time? Like,
yeah.
Just give it a shot.
Yeah, I got to say this. Gabe sent me some DVDs, and the first one I watched was Evolve 5. There were six men in the match. Six men. And I watched half the card, and I didn't realize that I didn't have any commentary on it. You know, they had to, you know, you can put the commentary off or not. I didn't realize there was no commentary. I was enjoying it just watching it. I didn't need anybody telling me what was going on. The action was just so well, and the matches were well-paced. It really was a good show. And like you said, you got to give it a shot, because imagine if the WWE, the first day the WWE started, and fans were able to get in on the ground floor, something great. That's what I find exciting about being an Evolve fan.
Exactly. You have a chance to get in on the ground floor. You have a chance to experience it from the very beginning and say you were there when this happened. You were there when he wrestled for Evolve. You were there when he first started. You were there when this whole concept caught on. I mean, you have a very big opportunity here to be able to say that type of thing. You don't get a chance like that very often.
No, you don't. You don't. In fact, one of the things that I guess gets the ball rolling is when you have the first event, everybody's 0-0. You know, no one has it going by records. But look back at wrestling. Goldberg's undefeated streak. The Undertaker's undefeated streak. Streaks are a big part of wrestling, wins and losses. So I think the Evolve does have a place. And as the ball gets rolling and you're up to 10, 11 events, then you're going to see a little bit of, you know, then there's going to be, you know, wins and losses are going to be mean something. You're in first place at 4-2, means something now, but once you're down the road a little bit, it's going to be even more.
Exactly. You never know what could happen.
Now, Johnny, I know you just started a new website. Why don't you tell my listeners what your website address is?
Currently, it is www.johnnygargano.webs.com. That's a work in progress until the whole thing actually works out. But yeah, I just started. A guy contacted me. He wanted to start running a website for me. His name is Daniel Mitchell, and I've helped him along with it, and I have contributed to it. So go visit it, buy some merch, buy whatever. That's your perfect spot to find out what I'm doing in Japan, find out what I'm doing in Jakarta, Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, all over the place. Your one-stop shop for Johnny Gargano information.
Yeah, and I want to thank you once again for being part. I'll keep that. You're going to ask you a few more questions. I'm enjoying the conversation because, like I said, I was in the industry. I worked with a lot of talents, and when you work with the wrestlers, once they get to WWE, a lot of times they've got swelled heads. A lot of times their attitudes aren't the best. But you seem to have your head on straight. And why don't you tell the fans about, like you said, your character is basically who you are. Why don't you tell the fans how you started in this business? Because I can imagine there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people out there who are fans just like you, but you took it one step further. Why don't you tell my listeners how you started in this crazy business of wrestling?
Well, I have a very interesting story about how I started. I actually started at kind of 8 years old. I started where my dad would always have, like, host independent wrestling shows. A promotion would come to him and want to host in like, indie shows in his back parking lot because he owned a restaurant. And he let him have them because I was a big wrestling fan, so he let them do that. And after the show, like, they let me get in the ring and mess around and show me a little bit. And I met the guy who would soon be my trainer. And I started training at about 13, 14. And I trained, and all the way up till 17 when I had my first pro match. So really, I started learning and molding my craft when I was 8 years old when I first started learning how to do the ins and outs of professional wrestling, which is weird when you say you're an eight-year-old kid and you're learning professional wrestling and all that stuff. But that is molding me to where I am today. And I had my first pro match at 17, and here we are now at 23 years old. And people always ask me who my inspirations were, and the easy question, if you watch any of my old Power Hours or anything I have on YouTube, Shawn Michaels was a huge inspiration for me, as well as Chris Jericho.
And two of the best in the business, of course, Michaels and Jericho. If you had a dream match right now, would it be against Shawn and Jericho in a three-way dance?
Oh, probably, definitely. I mean, like, if it was even just one of them, I'd be happy. If it was me versus Shawn Michaels and me versus Chris Jericho, that's a dream match for mine, yes.
As far as your character goes in Dragon Gate, Gabe being a pretty much mentored by Paul Heyman. I would imagine he gives you and all the talent some leeway as far as creating your characters and having a say in how things are advanced. Is that the case? Is that true?
Definitely. That's exactly how it works. If he trusts you, if he knows that you bring to the table, he knows what you can do, he gives you the basic premise of what we need to do, and he lets you just have fun with it, lets you be yourself, because really Gabe knows, that, well, as I was saying earlier, things don't work when they're forced upon people. Things don't work when you're putting something in somewhere and it doesn't belong. You're putting someone in a situation where he's not comfortable. People work best in situations where they can just flow. They can go out there and just do their thing, do what feels natural to them. And that works. That's how Gabe works. That's how everything works. And I love that style because I personally, I'd hate to be somewhere that they tell you this is what you need to do and that's it and that's the way. But the way Gabe works is awesome. I really do love it.
Yeah, one of the biggest compliments I can give Gabe, like I explained earlier, I didn't really like the product. WWE, I didn't want to devote 2 hours of my time to cut through the stuff I didn't like, but I gave Gabe a compliment. I said, Gabe, your booking and the talents that you're developing and the storylines, it got me back into watching it. I'll devote time, money, and effort and an emotional attachment. And I think that's saying something. There's a lot of fans out there who are disgruntled by the product they're seeing, and I think Dragon Gate, like we said throughout this interview, gives them something fresh and something new and evolve as well.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that.
One last question before I let you go. When my listeners always want to know, like, something crazy that's happened on the road with independent wrestlers, give me the craziest story that ever happened. I know you're only 23. There's more craziness to come along. But what's the craziest story that ever happened on the independent scene in your career?
I don't think, like, I always get asked this, and I never really have any good, like, really good stories. Trying to think of one. It happened kind of recently. Me and Brian Danielson were sharing a hotel room, and we were up late at night. He had to catch a flight, so he was not he wasn't going to sleep, and I wasn't going to sleep. So we went on Twitter, and we searched the word boner, and we just searched that, and we figured out what people were talking about the word boner. And Brian came up with the idea where he would tweet, because he had like a billion followers at the time. He would tweet, I have a boner, will anyone come and take care of that for me? So we debated back and forth about whether he should post this or not. For a good while, he ended up saying that he could not do that. But I would have loved the fact if he would have posted, I have a boner, can anyone come and take care of that for me? Because I think that would have been amazing to see the replies that would have came in to that tweet.
Well, there you go. The life, it wasn't sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It was tweeting the word boner and what you can do with that, right?
Yep, exactly.
Well, Johnny, I think that's one of the things that make you such a special talent. It's just the refreshing attitude you bring to the business. And I encourage everybody to friend you on Facebook. I think you're very open with that because you've got a lot of entertaining promos that you do. And what you see with Johnny Gargano is what you get. And I want to just commend you on that because, like I said, Dragon Gate USA is a great product. I think Gabe is a great booker, and being one of his top talents is commendable to you.
I very much so appreciate that, man. Yeah, like you said, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm everywhere. Just search Johnny Gargano. Add me. Follow me. Whatever. I'm very interactive. You can talk to me. I'm not a weirdo or a jerk. So yeah, do all that stuff.
Great. Well, let me play Booker for a minute. Johnny, we talked about this. After you come back from Japan, I'll have you on again, and we'll talk about your 3-week experience in Japan and see how it went. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of stories from the road and a lot of excitement happening.
Cool beans, man. I'll make sure I do something stupid so I can tell you about it.
There you go. Well, I'm going to let you go, but again, fans, Johnny Gargano, Dragon Gate USA, Evolve Wrestling, and all points in between. Thank you for your time, and we will speak to you once you return.
No problem, man, anytime.
All right, Johnny, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, fans, that was Johnny Gargano. Again, he is one of the stars of Dragon Gate USA and Evolve Wrestling. His website is www.johnnygargano.webs.com. You can go there, but friend him on Facebook. If you're a fan of wrestling and you want to stay in touch with a talent that's friendly and open and unique, friend him on Facebook, and you won't be disappointed. And check out his matches that he had in Philadelphia and New York. GoFightLive.tv. Again, give Dragon Gate a chance and Evolve Wrestling a chance. I wasn't disappointed, and I know you won't be too. And fans in the New York area can check out Evolve on Tuesday, April 19th in Manhattan at the BB King Blues Club, which is where Dragon Gate had one of those, had their matches in January. It's a great intimate setting, and nothing but rave reviews about the setting, so you won't be disappointed. And a Tuesday night, come on into New York. You can't find a better place than New York coming out on Tuesday night. So once again, fans, this is Rich Baker thanking you for listening. I always appreciate it. My email address is richbaker123@aol.com. Call me, email me with the comments. Friend me on Facebook. I'm excited to be a part of the show, and thank you for listening. And I'll sign off like I do every week. For those of you who believe, no explanation is necessary. And for those of you who don't, no explanation will do. And I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.